This podcast was recorded on Kaurna land. We acknowledge the Kaurna people as the original custodians of the land and pay our respects to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples.
A lot of the time we're actually in areas and specialties that we want to be in and we're passionate about. And I think that is one of the biggest things with placement as well, is it can be really mentally taxing to be somewhere you don't want to be. And unfortunately, that's just the game of luck that placement kind of can be sometimes. But it's reassuring to know that I will get there. I will be where I want to be eventually.
You'll want to make a note.
Should you be taking notes or something?
You got a pencil? Write this down quick.
Why aren't you taking notes?
Write this down.
Aren't you going to write this down?
Did you need me to take notes?
Please take note.
Hello and welcome to Take Note. This is the podcast where we give you the best notes on everything you need to know from the day you start uni to the day you graduate. My name is Shannon and I'm an honours student studying media and I am your host.
And I'm Olivia and I'm doing my Bachelor's of Commerce major in Corporate Finance and Marketing, and I'm back for another episode. We all have so much going on in our life at university, whether this be work, friendships, relationships, and just general stresses of adult life from becoming a teenager to going into that adult section of our life. And that's all before you consider the extra load that is study. For a lot of us, that means we're wearing a lot of different hats all the time, and that juggle can be a lot.
So we wanted to speak this week with some students who have felt those pressures and how they've managed their student life around it. Welcome back, Olivia. So fun to have you back.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes. So we are talking about wearing all the hats today. We have some great students coming in to chat about their experience as nurses and placement and managing all of that.
So students are actually my friends. I'm so excited to see their interview. I'm not going to be the one interviewing them. It will be Shannon today, but I'm just so excited to be even in the room. These two girls, Asha and Georgia, they're lovely girls and they're both doing nursing. So random that I'd be friends with them at uni, but you never know the people that you could meet while you're studying, and it's just so going to be so interesting to hear what they have to say.
Yeah. But we thought maybe before we get into that, we might just have a little bit of a chat about how we've both sort of juggled the different things in our lives as we've been studying as well.
Yeah, I feel like this is an episode that I was so happy when Shannon was like, this could be a good one for you to come back onto, because everybody has these struggles with juggling everything. And I know that I am like so bad at juggling everything sometimes because I just cannot stop myself from saying yes to everything.
Yeah, and you are working like pretty much close to like part-time, full-time whilst you are studying at the moment as well.
So I've always been one to overcommit myself with work because I just get too absorbed in the job and I'm like, oh, I could do that shift. I could go to that event. I could film that. I could do that. And then you just end up juggling so much. So at the moment I am working for the university and I'm working anywhere from 20 to 25 hours a week, which for some people they'll probably look at and be like, oh my God, that's nothing. But for me, I like
with a full-time study load, that is a lot.
Yeah. So I obviously have my weekend somewhat free, but I'm trying to juggle everything as well. Like I play a sport in my free time. I do play footy. I can't say I'm a star player,
a little
but
pocket rocket.
Yeah. I can run. I can't kick or handball or catch, but that's okay. Coordination's never been my strong suit, but that still takes out. I spend all day Sunday playing footy and then training two nights a week, and then obviously my full-time study load being in my final year, these assignments are the ones that are really important and are going to shape me to be in the workforce full-time next year. And then I'm also working my 20 hours a week and juggling, trying to see my friends, see my family, see my boyfriend. Like there's just so many things. And sometimes I'm like, oh my God, what is going on?
Yeah. I've had a look at our calendar, guys, and it is pretty hectic. Not going to lie.
Yeah. This semester I'm becoming a Google Calendar lover. I have everything color coded. Everything lines up. Like
it's very aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah. It's all pink in case you're wondering.
Yeah. And I mean, I think like I would find that a lot with a full-time study load. I feel like the only way I've been able to manage like working and studying in this degree is like I've been doing a lot of my study at like the 75% load.
Yeah.
I've been very lucky that I've been managed to do that because I've done previous study. I was able to get credit for things. So I was able to do a whole degree within the space of 3 years, but all at pretty much that 75% workload or three subjects at a time.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah. I really recommend it for anyone that is struggling with the load, but I cannot imagine doing the work that I've been doing, like because I think I do about 10 hours a week for the university, and then I work probably like anywhere between like 8 and 15 hours for the then sometimes I'm working at a retail job as well. Old 24 jobs. Yeah. I don't know how I do it. But
no, that is crazy. Like sometimes when we all rock up to the office on a Monday morning and we're like, oh my God, like I was doing this. Like the end of my week just got crazy after the last time I saw you. Like things can just get so out of hand, but it's so good to really just take a step back and think about how can I actually compartmentalize all of this into my one week.
Yeah. How do you, I guess, like figure out what you're going to do when, and how do you juggle, like, to make sure that you're not doing too much all at the same time? Like, do you have particular yeah. like hacks that you figured out for yourself about when to schedule to do certain things or anything?
For me, it's always you've got to write everything down. Like Google Calendar has become my best friend, and I really do have to put like almost not everything into it, but like those random things where people are like, oh, like let's get ice cream on Tuesday night. And you're like, oh yes, like I can take half an hour out of my Tuesday night to go get ice cream with you. But then when you actually lay it all down on the table and think about it, you're like, oh my God, I've agreed to go get ice cream and I forgot about it. And in my head, I'd put down that I was going to study on Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. And now suddenly the hour that's ice cream is actually 2 hours that's ice cream. And then the 3 hours of study I wanted to do. And then I need to, this might just be a me thing, but I need to wash my hair as well. And that'll probably take me an hour by the time I do my hair mask and blow dry it.
Oh my God, yes.
And then I'm like, what do you mean I'm finishing work at 5 o'clock and I have 6 hours of things I want to get done? Like for me, going to bed at 11 o'clock at night is just too late. And I feel like the reality of how you have to do that is you will forget things. Like I don't mean to toot my own horn, but my memory sometimes, I'm like shocked at the things that I can remember. Like if I've met you once, I know your number plate. Like I hate to break it to you, but I do know your number plate. And then it's like everything like that. Like I can remember the most random things, but I'll forget what I've agreed to do with my head and myself personally.
Oh my God. I'm the queen of double booking myself. Yeah. I do exactly the same thing because it's exactly that. Someone will say, oh, can we do this thing in like 3 weeks? And it's like, yeah, of course. My calendar's like scotch free. And I forget to put it in my diary. And that is always when things fall apart. Like I've had to like yes. move shifts around and do all the things because I just keep double booking myself.
Exactly. And then I feel bad. Like I'm like, oh my God, I promised this person like
yeah.
3 months ago that I would see them and I still haven't organized anything. So I'm like, oh, I'll just shove it in this week. That'll be fine. Like it's looking all right. Like I just won't go to that footy training. I just won't do that. But then the reality is when it comes down to it that I haven't left myself enough time for things.
Yeah, absolutely. I find that with like, say like if you do like a Pilates class or like a workout or maybe even just sport,
yeah,
like that's always the first thing for me to drop off my calendar.
Yeah,
because I feel like that's like I don't have to answer to anyone about that, you know what I mean? It's not like I'm letting a friend down. It's not like I'm abandoning work or anything like that or abandoning study, but it's always that thing that actually makes me feel more stressed when I drop it.
Yeah,
exactly. And again, that's when I double book myself, I think, because I love to do like a Pilates class on like a Monday night and a Wednesday night, and people say, can you do stuff that night? And I'm like, yeah, I can. And then I always do it and then kind of regret it later because then yes. I feel like that's such like a de-stressor for me. Like the moving of your body and like getting the endorphins and everything like that
yeah,
makes such
exactly.
a difference. When I'm having a really stressful week and I haven't done it, as soon as I do my next like class, like the week after, I'm like, oh, this is what I needed.
Yeah. Exactly. And I feel like that's such a good point. Like sport is always the one thing that like everyone's like, oh, like it's important, but like, is it that important? Me and my family always talk about the 3 S's. And I think in reality, it should be the 4 S's. The 3 S's,
oh my God,
in case you're wondering, are social, study and sleep. And you can't put, this is just my family's philosophy. There's
I
no
love this.
Science behind this, that you can't put all of your energy into all 3 of them at the same time. And you can't give 50% of them, like, because you don't have 50% to give 3 times. Like you can yeah. only give 2 lots of 50%. And trying to do them all at 33%, it's not going to work. And I was notorious in year 12, first year uni, sleep was gone. I didn't care. I was studying and I had my social. Obviously you need to work as well and sport, but like, I didn't care. I was like, no, I want to go out. Like I've like, for me, sport and work, you have to view as the like non-negotiables. Like yeah. you have to do them regardless of what's happening. So you have yeah. to put them into your calendar and they have to stay. Like they can't move. Like you've been rostered a shift from 7 to 3. You yeah. can't schedule anything over that. And then sleep, study and social are the ones that you can like study should be study as in like not your uni classes, but as in like time to study. So it's like you view that, you're like, oh, I put aside Tuesday night to study, but oh, I guess I could do an hour on Tuesday night and then 2 hours on Wednesday night. And oh, maybe I can see my friends on Tuesday night. But then you're not putting all of your effort into study. You've taken it away from study and put it into sleep and put it into social. But then say you do still try to get your 3 hours of study done on your Tuesday night and your 2 hours of ice cream, you've taken away from sleep because you just can't do all three at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. It literally makes me think of The Sims when you're trying to get all those bars to like me. All good.
I just want everything to be perfect. Me and my boyfriend always say as well, he's like, okay, well, what if you could do this or you could do this? I'm like, but why can't I do both? And he's like, no, like that's just not how that works. Like you do have to pick between them. Like we can't both just be like sacrificing everything just to like get everything done. Like some things do have to get cut. And you have to pick where your priorities are.
Yeah, and I love that sleep is a priority because I realized that I think probably like in the back end of high school, I kind of was like, well, if I haven't done my assignment by like 11 o'clock the night before, that's on me. Yeah. I was always kind of like, well, it's my fault that it's not done on time and I'm not going to like let everything else in my life fall apart because I feel like sometimes when you are working, you know, you might stay up late that night to do, whether it's, you know, 1, 2 a.m. to do that assignment. But then the next day, whatever classes you have or any other assignments you've got going on, they then suffer because you're not actually able to perform. And I, to be honest, majority of the time, there was no actual big consequence to me just going to bed on time. And then, you know, even though I hadn't done what I needed to do.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like the other thing I was going to say in terms of like how to prioritize things, I'm a huge person on priorities. So at the beginning of each semester, or I haven't done it again yet for this semester, I need to, but I do normally do it at the beginning of each semester. I make a not a week-to-week calendar, but I just set out Monday to Friday, the 24 hours of the day, and I put in what I would want my typical week to look like.
I love that.
And things can only go for an hour. So I put in that I'd want to do an hour gym class on Monday, an hour gym class on Thursday, and an hour gym class on Friday. And I would ideally work this many hours in the week, and this is the time that I would ideally see my boyfriend. And then maybe I'll put on a Tuesday night that every Tuesday night I want to see my friends. And you make this whole calendar and you color code it, and then you bring it out, and it's the amount of hours that you would, in an ideal week, spend on each activity. And then you need to weigh it up in the week, and it's way easier to do that. Say you've put 3 hours into the week for friends and there's 4 people that want to see you for dinner. It's not going to happen because you can't do four lots of 3 hours in the week. That's 12 hours. And think about how many other things you'd have to sacrifice to go 4 times over the amount of hours that you have in a week to see your friends. And if you do that, then like that's it worked really well for me last semester, so I definitely should get onto that this semester. But then, like, I can way more easily, like, make sure I have enough time for things. Like, if I have in my week that I want to see my boyfriend for 10 hours apart from, like, sleep time, then it's like, if he's asking to see me on more days, I'm like, look, like, maybe, but I know that I have it compartmentalized and, like, I know that I have time every week for 10 hours of this or 12 hours of that.
Yeah, and you're like, why are you so obsessed with me? You just want to see me all the time.
I know.
I do a very similar thing. I don't work well from home, but I also, I'm very routine. So I tend to try and plan out my days. I'm not much of a night owl, not much of a morning person either. Like I can get up early if I have to do it. Like it's, but I'd like my ideal time to wake up would be like 7:30, 8 o'clock, not like really early.
I feel like a lot of people would call that you are a morning person.
Oh, but I mean like I'm like a 9-to-5 gal. Like I love the 9-to-5. It just works for me because I like being able to come home at the end of the day and then chill. So what I will often do is I will put everything, particularly if I know I've got a lot of assignments coming up, a lot of things to do, I will write out in my calendar exactly when I'm going to do it. So I might be like these 2 hours I'll spend on this reading and then I'm going to do this many words. Like I'll often go back to I'll find the due date of an assignment and then work my way back and figure out where I can fit in the time to do my assignment. For me, I generally like to schedule like 100 words for like an hour. And sometimes it doesn't happen and sometimes you'll write more. So for me, that it sort of equals out. But as long as I know that I've got the time, because then I feel like I can stress less because I can actually open up my calendar and see, oh, I've got this time here. And I can see all the little pockets of time where I'm going to get my assignment done. It's not this like open-ended nebulous thing where I'm just stressing about when I'm going to do it. It's a lot
like,
more.
When am I going to do my assignment? Where am I going to fit it in?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And plus that way I know that I'm on track as well. So if I know that I've only got an hour in a day, if I can do that 100 words within like half an hour, then I can either work for the whole hour, do a little bit more, or I can get a little bit of time back.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm still on track and I'm not going to be behind in my assignment. It's still going to get done on time. But I will also only schedule these things between the hours of 9-to-5.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. And so I sort of, have tried to figure, and that's Monday to Friday as well. I don't put things on weekends unless it's like the absolute like dire straits.
I will stand, I will die on the hill that Sundays are for me. I refuse to work on a Sunday. Playing footy on a Sunday is a stretch. They're lucky that it's not till the middle of the day because Sunday is my day. Like,
yeah, and I love doing it like that because then if, say again, say the worst has happened and I just, you know, maybe I've got sick, maybe something's gone wrong and I just have lost some time in the week, I've actually still got that evening if I absolutely need it.
Yeah.
But majority of the time it means that I can switch off at 5 o'clock when I leave the university. Like, I'll come to uni, do my work, and then go home. I love that separation. But then by the time I get home, that means I can just chill. I know that time is just for me. So I can sort of, that guilt-free, you know, chill out time. So it's actually like that, what do you call it, like productive rest rather than the sort of sitting at home being like, I should be doing my assignment and just having being a stress head. Because I feel like that's not useful either.
That is not useful at all. And I love that you put everything from 9 to 5. I was going to say, like, the one thing is when you factor everything down to a T, because I've been criminal of doing this before. I'm like, oh, like, I just need an extra hour to do this. So, oh, I'll just put it from 9 till 10 on a Wednesday night. Come on, Olivia. Like, let's
I will never
logically.
Do that. Like, I can't, my brain won't do it. If I, as soon as I cross the threshold of my front door at home, my brain turns off.
Yeah,
like,
which is exactly how it should be. I refuse to study in my room and I try to do all my study at uni because if I set myself, oh, just go home and do it on the, just do it when I get home. Nah, Olivia, you're not going to do it. Like, let's think logically. And then you'll be so mad at yourself when you rock up to uni the next day and you're like, I was supposed to have this scheduled to do last night and I got home and I didn't want to do it.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And I feel like those are the moments when I feel stressed.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And then that's when you don't get the productive rest and you get the rest that you almost force onto yourself because you've overcommitted, you've tried to do too many things and your body's like, calm down. Like, I need a break. I need a
nap. That's when you get sick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I feel like I'm so excited to hear all the ways that you've done this. And I'm really excited to hear how our guests have managed it as well, considering they've got like placements and everything else going on.
Oh my God. I can, like, just from the stories that they've told me without even being on the podcast, I'm like, thank God I did not pick to do nursing because that sounds so hard. And then I'm like, just thinking about how I juggle my life, I definitely could not fit a placement into that as well.
Asha and Georgia are both nursing students who have had to complete placements that made it difficult for them to work and earn money while they were studying, and it required them to give up a big amount of time. But they are joining me today on the podcast to chat about their experience. Welcome, both of you. It's so exciting to have you here.
Thanks so much for having us.
Excited to be here.
First of all, could you just tell us a little bit about yourselves just so we can get a bit of background?
100%. So my name's Asha. I'm born and raised in Adelaide, went through all my schooling here and started uni in 2022. I didn't have a gap year or anything like that. Always loved working with kids. All my jobs I've had has been that, and that was a huge driver for me going into the healthcare industry as well.
Hi, I'm Georgia. I grew up on a rural sheep farm in Victoria. Had a gap year after year 12, having been in the COVID year in Victoria. So then decided to move to Adelaide after that, and 6-hour drive away from home, which has been a big change.
Yeah.
I live at a residential college in North Adelaide and I absolutely love it. And met Asha in 2022 through nursing as well.
Amazing. Yeah. And could you tell us a little bit about what your program was like? So did you guys both, you both did the same degree?
Yeah. So same degree at the same university. One of the huge reasons I chose Adelaide Uni was their practical-based program. So compared to some of the other universities' offerings, we do a fair bit more placement in terms of hours and a lot more placement blocks, which gives us an opportunity to experience different kinds of settings, you know, your rural, aged care, higher acuity, lower acuity. 3-year program, but it's been good, yeah.
Yeah, lots of pracs as well, which we've absolutely loved. Every year we've had pracs, and now in our 3rd year, the classes are a lot more specialised, which is really enjoyable. Not so much the biology, pharmacology-based subjects that we had in our 1st and 2nd year. So that's been really good.
Yeah, and so you've both obviously had to do a lot of work that is quite, like, physical stuff that's not just, it's very practical kind of thing. So how much time did your placements or take up? I'm guessing you've had to do a few then.
Yeah, 100%. So we do a minimum of 7 blocks, I believe.
So much.
Yeah, so they vary from 3 weeks to 6 weeks. I think in total it's about 1,200 hours of practical clinical placement.
Yeah, so at the moment I've got one more block of placement left and I've done 1,040 hours. In my first year, I actually injured my hand, so that put my placements off a little bit, meaning that I had to do every placement block in my second year. So that meant that I hadn't had a holiday break between January of last year until June of this year because of placement, other than a little three-week one over summer.
Yeah.
So it's been very intense having to make up those placements as well.
Yeah, so how does that work, I guess, with your other study? Because most people just go to classes and then they have the mid-semester break and then they go back to class, and even internships are kind of a bit more like woven into that. So how, what's that like when you're doing, do you have to do classes at the same time as your placements? Or?
No, not at the moment. So in there's a placement block coming up and we will have to do assignments at the same time, but our placement blocks are situated around our holidays. So we have our period of classes and then we have the, for example, the four-week winter break, and in that break we would have the 4 weeks of placement, so we wouldn't have actual time off of uni.
Yeah, there were circumstances where we would, you know, finish up the semester and then you have your exams and then on the Monday you start placement. So I was very similar to Georgia, where last year we had three placement blocks and all of mine happened to fall over the break, so the mid-semester break, the mid-year break and the mid-semester break later in the year. I think that is one of the huge challenges of a nursing degree. And obviously it was great in second year and first year when, you know, our classes would kind of stop for the meantime. They wouldn't make us come in while we have placement shifts. But, you know, you've still got your assignments that carry on. You've still got your content that you might not have caught up on from week three. So it can be challenging to manage both the content and the placement at the same time.
Yeah, and just the fact that you're not getting like a proper full-on break that mm-hmm. most other people yeah. get either, yeah. like that's a lot. That's
and
very
taxing. And placement can be quite draining in that, like emotionally and physically and mentally draining, doing shift work hours Monday to Friday, you know, finishing at 9:30 at night, having to go get ready for bed, waking up for a 7 a.m. shift can be quite draining, and that's in our supposed holiday time off break.
Yeah, that's crazy. And so what kinds of things, I guess, were you expected to do on your placements?
Lots of things. I think definitely in first year they do kind of, not baby you, but they look after you a lot. A lot of us do our aged care placements in first year, which is what I had, and that was amazing. You know, all we can really do at that point is, you know, help with, you know, activities of daily life, the showers, the washes and everything like that. But now we're kind of getting to the point in third year where we are expected to take full patient loads. We're expected to do all the documentation, all the medication, everything basically independent under the supervision of someone else. But, you know, we've had friends who've done CPR on patients and, you know, I've done a chest drain, and there's so many different things that, you know, they can teach it to you in a practical in class, but it does not compare at all
no.
to actually doing it on the job on a real person who is really clinically unwell.
Yeah, and I think I've been reflecting a lot on it recently as well, like Asha being 18 when she's come into the degree and I was 19, and we've seen some very confronting things
yeah.
that people that are far older than us may never have to experience. So that is quite, it can be draining. It's really rewarding. As I've gone through different placements as well, the hospitals have allowed us to go to different theatres. So I've seen an open heart surgery before, which has
wow.
been just an incredible experience. Yeah.
That's so intense.
Yeah.
And like, I'm guessing you obviously, you know, that kind of shift work, it doesn't really exactly allow much time for a job or anything like that. So how did you go, you know, having trying to earn money and things like this throughout this period?
Yes, it's very interesting. As student nurses, a lot of us work as assistant in nursing, as AINs. I personally don't, but Georgia does.
I do, yeah.
And it's actually, you're not allowed to work as an AIN while you're on placement. It's, they don't want you to burn out. If you're on placement at the same hospital you work at, they don't allow you to work. So that is one of the huge barriers, I think, in
yeah.
terms of placement is, you know, you're on placement, you're not earning any money to work full time for 6 weeks, and you actually can't work at your job either. But then
yeah.
on the flip side of that as well, you know, I work at just, I have a job and I'm able to work, but in that I'm working 7 days a week.
Yeah.
I work in like a weekend, you know, that's how prime
time. So, you know, I'll work shift work from Monday to Friday, and then I roll into work on Saturday, do my shift, and then Sunday I'm working as well. And then you start it all again the next week. So it is definitely something that there's their pros and cons that, you know, not being able to work is nice because you have your weekends, but then you're not earning any money to drive, you know. The university, they can send us anywhere up to 90 minutes from our residential address. And, you know, when petrol's $2 a litre.
Yeah.
Like I had a placement where I would drive 45 minutes there and back every day. And, you know, I'm spending like $150 on petrol a week. So I needed that weekend shift work to earn money for that. But then you're exhausted at the same time. So it's this like, you can't win almost.
Yeah. Like you're not even like, you're breaking even. You're not even actually earning.
100%. Yeah.
And it's just exhausting. Like I worked two jobs last year as an AIN, which they suggest that, well, you're not actually allowed to work as an AIN at the same time as doing your 40 hours full-time placement. And I had to give up my other job because I was constantly having to ask for 4 weeks off here, 6 weeks off there. So then there's just no income, which puts a lot of pressure on the time leading up to your placement. You're studying for your exams, but you're also having to work a lot at your job to try and make up funds that you'll lose during placement. So it is really time consuming, and it does take a lot away from potentially our learning as well and our success in our exams.
Yeah, yeah. How do you guys manage that if you are, like, you know, doing those really intense 7 day weeks, even just for short periods of time? That's a lot. Like, and study is a lot already. Like, how do you manage that?
Yeah, honestly, like, it's changes every week. It's really hard to manage, and it's really hard to juggle everything that we've had to kind of go through. And we're just speaking kind of on behalf of us at the moment, but we can't really even imagine what it's like for single mums who have to work and pick up their kids from school with shift work hours. And so many people have different life experiences. It's hard to even have hobbies or hang out with our friends. So it can be really draining, but I feel like we've really lent on each other. We have a really good group of friends from nursing, and we share our experiences with each other and lean on each other, which is really helpful.
Yeah, I think following on from that, you know, it can be really hard to manage everything in your life. You've got your friends, your family, your partner, you know, whatever your circumstance, your kids. But I feel like sometimes those relationships can become weakened in a sense. And like Georgia said, like someone will ask me, oh, like, what do you do in your free time? And I
like, what's free time?
I don't know what a hobby is.
Yeah, we'll have hobbies next year.
Yeah. So I think the pressure on those relationships can also become quite isolating in a sense. You know, you come off your week of placement and the last thing I want to do is go out for dinner on a Saturday night, or, you know, you might have a 21st on the weekend and you are just wrecked.
Yeah.
And it can really affect those relationships.
You can't give everything to everyone, and it's really hard for people like us that really value the friendships that we have and our family and our partners. It's really hard to not be able to give everything to them in those times.
Yeah, yeah. And so I guess on top of your placements, you've got your social life, you've got your study life, you've got your work life, you know, like, is there, what else do you have going on? Like, is it just this constant juggle with all of the things?
I think so. Yeah. I think that is a really good way to describe. It's just this constant cycle of like, okay, placement, and then I've got this, and then I've got this, and then I'm back to placement.
You just kind of become a robot and you're just in chaos mode, and you just know you have to get absolutely everything done because it's really hard to give something up. You can't give up placement, and you can't give up your study. You can't give up your friends and your family. So you're just, you've got tunnel vision and you know you just have to get through, but it is a really hard period.
I guess, how does that make you guys feel like pushing forward towards a career that is, you know, does it, like, even when you're done with your study, you'll still be doing a lot of shift work and things like that. How does that make you feel about the career you're about to enter into?
I feel like I'm still really positive about the career because I won't have the study on top of my work. And next year we'll likely be working 0.8, which is 4 days a fortnight. That's what they recommend for first year graduate nurses. So I feel like I'll be able to get in a better rhythm with all of my relationships and my hobbies and start doing things that I really enjoy as well. And when I'm ready to potentially study again, then I'll be a little bit more mature and be able to settle into it a bit easier.
Yeah, definitely. I think like the graduate programs for nursing really set people up for success in a way, you know, they don't want you to crash and burn and, you know, burn out and everything like that. And it's a huge part of our third year learning is they teach us strategies for mindfulness. They teach us how to kind of get in a rhythm. It's this 3 years of absolute chaos, as Georgia said before. And then once you come out of it, you kind of are on the other side and you're getting paid for your work. And a lot of the time we're actually in areas and specialties that we want to be in and we're passionate about. And I think that is one of the biggest things with placement as well, is it can be really mentally taxing to be somewhere you don't want to be. And unfortunately, that's just the game of luck that placement kind of can be sometimes. But it's reassuring to know that I will get there. I will be where I want to be eventually. So things to look forward to. And I think that's how the, like, definitely our group of friends, in a sense, we're positive about it because we know where we're going. It's not, we're stuck in this stagnant kind of place of the study and everything like
that. Yeah, like we see the potential of our career and what we can get out of it. It's just really hard on placement when you're potentially not in an area that you absolutely are so passionate about. And then to still have to go there for 40 hours a week, shift work, and put things aside when you don't really see yourself there in the future.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's a big thing. I think a lot of us sort of have to get our heads around when we are studying. It's like, because you can really second guess what you're doing and what you're studying if you're just not enjoying it at that very moment. But it's like really important, I think, to remember that you don't have to love 100% of what you do 100% of the time. And majority of people don't, even once they're in their careers. And that's actually completely normal. Like, you know, you might love helping out, the, like actually dealing face to face with the patient, but then the documentation might just drive you insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And like how, we've sort of touched on it a little bit, but like, how do you feel about the idea of like placement poverty? Is that something that you guys feel like you can really relate to?
100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think, you know, we kind of bring two different perspectives on it. I'm really lucky. I still live at home with my parents. I don't pay board or rent, but I still have, you know, your everyday expenses, you know, your car insurance, your phone bill, everything like that. And whereas Georgia, she does pay rent. So it's kind of balancing, like, can I afford to do this on the weekend? Like, oh, I have placement in 3 weeks. Like, I probably should be saving my money.
Yeah. Especially even for birthdays and everything. We've got a lot of 21sts at the moment, and there's some things that you just have to put aside to, I guess, prioritise your financial standing before placement, because it is really taxing when you have 6 weeks of unpaid work to then...
And that, like, we have friends who are like doing 8 week blocks at other unis, and I'm like, that is 2 months of full-time work with basically no... There's clinical and, like, you know, clinical reward in the sense of your study, but there's no actual, like,
financial
reward in a sense. And, you know, we've seen all the articles about, you know, the payment that's coming through next July, which obviously is really unfortunate for people like us who will graduate. But I'm so happy that, you know, that's something that's coming through for the next generation of nurses.
I'm just glad that we've been recognised for the work that we're doing. And, yeah, it is unfortunate that it won't be for us, but I'm so happy that it's happening for future generations of nurses, because I do feel like it is a driving force in some people not being able to do nursing as a degree, even if that's what they wanted to do, and or that they stop halfway through their degree because they can't cope with it even more.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you touched on sort of things like mindfulness and stuff like that. So what are the things that, like, or maybe strategies, I guess, that you guys have found to sort of get through those really intense weeks and periods of time?
Yeah, I definitely just try to mindfully think about what contributes positively to my life. So I love to go for a walk, do a Pilates class, go for a coffee with a friend, hang out with the people that I enjoy spending time with, and really give myself some me time outside of placement, even if it's just a few hours between it. And at the moment we're not on placement, but still really trying to focus on those good habits so that we can bring that through. Good sleep hygiene, all of that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think very similar. I find that it either goes one or two ways for me. I either isolate myself and I'm like, okay, I just need to take you know, 5 hours this afternoon just for me. I just need to sit and watch something. Or, you know, you've kind of, at the end of the day, you've got to put your health first. So if I have to come home and I have to do 3 modules of a subject, but I'm just not feeling it, like putting yourself first and being like, I'll come back to that when I feel ready for it. But then on the other side, I find sometimes I rely on those people in my life, you know, like I'll message Georgia and be like, can we please go and do something this morning?
Hurry up for sushi.
Yeah. Can we please do something? Just so we, I feel like between nurses as well, we have this innate ability to just like,
we connect about with things. Each other,
yeah,
really.
You
well.
Know, sometimes I'll come home from placement and be like, Dad, guess what I did today? And he'll be like, it's dinner time. I don't want to hear this conversation right now, but I know that these girls will always have something to say about what happened during the day. But yeah.
Yeah, we connect really well with each other. And I think that's been really important for us, that we have been so fortunate to have found each other and to lean on each other and share our experiences and share similar passions, so that when we are going through a hard time, we're really understanding of each other and what we're going through, because we are kind of all going through it in a similar sense, even though we have different circumstances.
Yeah. And it's up to you how you feel like you want to answer this question, but have there been moments where it has just sort of fallen apart for a second and you just, the juggle has not juggled?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I think every student nurse has had one of those moments where they're like, oh my goodness, why am I doing this? It can literally be the tiniest thing ever. But I think we've both had experiences with, you know, senior nurses blowing your confidence, and you leave and you're like, do they think I'm stupid? You know, it kind of can just like all come together and explode over such a minor thing that happened during the day.
But it's when you're absolutely exhausted and there's something really small, like Asha said, that just kills your confidence, and you just don't trust your abilities anymore to be nursing. You don't know if it is for you, because some senior nurse says that you didn't do something quite right, even though it might have been the way that we were taught, and it just kills your confidence. And it's really unfortunate that it makes you just dwell on the degree you've chosen, the career you've chosen, even when you've been so previously passionate about it.
How do you guys come back from that?
Oh, lots of tears, yeah. I guess, and definitely leaning on each other. Like, we all share our experiences with each other, whether it's with a patient or a nurse. We have really supportive clinical lecturers that support us through the placement experience and come and check in on us each week, and we can talk to them or talk to other senior members of our cohort or our teachers and stuff, and just share those experiences, be open, try to talk it out, because we're nurses and we're great talkers. Yeah. So just getting it off of our chest is really good and really helpful.
Yeah, I would say exactly the same thing. We're really fortunate to have such an amazing team of clinical facilitators, and, you know, they genuinely care about you. At the end of the day, they want what's best for you, and if someone isn't treating you with the respect you deserve, because at the end of the day, that's a huge thing in any career, but I feel like especially in healthcare, if you don't feel respected by your team, you're not going to perform to the level that you should be, and that can really influence someone's health. You know, these are people that we're looking after at the end of the day. They're human beings. We need to be our best selves so they can be their best selves, so they'll back us up.
And it is a privilege to be able to look after people when they are so vulnerable. Like, everyone that's in hospital are likely, it's the most vulnerable time of their life and for their family's life as well. And being able to be in that position is a privilege in itself.
Yeah, I love that. So what's your advice for other students who, you know, might be just struggling under the weight of all of the things, all the responsibilities, you know, all happening at once?
Just try and prioritise yourself as best you can. Like, figure out the things that make you happy, whether it is investing in a new hobby or seeing your friends or having a 2-hour nap each day, and also learning to say no to things. I think there's a lot of, I mean, personally, I've had a few experiences on placement where I've been asked to do a certain task and I haven't felt ready for it yet, and I may have wanted to just overlook another nurse, you know, performing that skill, that task again. and just learning to say no to things takes the pressure off of you a little bit. Yeah,
I love that. I think that is a huge thing is when you're not feeling confident in something, don't feel pressured to do it. You know, if you're not ready, the patient's probably not ready for you to do it either. But I think also learning to ask for help, following on with that, you know, whether that be at placement or outside of placement, you know, the university has so many avenues to help you. And if you don't ask, you don't know. So I think learning when to kind of put yourself aside for a second and say, hey, I need someone else to help me out with this, you know, whether that be your facilitator being like, hey, I'm just not feeling comfortable with this nurse, or hey, like, can you just run me through what I would do in this scenario? Just kind of fires you up a little bit as well in sense of your confidence too.
Yeah, and you have to remember that you are an undergraduate nurse. You're not meant to know everything. And personally, I put a lot of pressure on myself to be this incredible nurse, which hopefully one day I will be, but just need to take the layers back a little bit and remember that we are undergraduate nurses. We are learning. That's why we're on placement. So if you need to watch it one more time or five more times before you take someone's blood or any skill like that, then just do it and just say no, ask for help, ask for the guidance. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like that advice because I feel like that can be really broadened out as well. You know, it's not just nursing. It's like your study life, your social life, your work life. Like sometimes you just have to say no to that shift because you are exhausted, or sometimes you just have to say no to that friend because you can't fit it in without stressing yourself out. Or maybe you just need some more help on an assignment that you don't feel confident in.
Yeah, of course.
And Georgia and I are very much people pleaser kind of personalities. So I think that was a huge, huge thing that, you know, I feel like nursing and just uni in general brings out so much in a person and helps you grow professionally, personally, with so many things. So learning to say no was a huge thing for both of us, I think.
It's caused us a lot of stress saying yes to a lot of things, but it's made us better because of it. And we've slowly over the past 3 years learned to say no and learned to ask for help, even if it's just for small things.
Yeah, well, thank you both so much for sharing your experiences.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us again.
Yeah, and good luck everyone as well. You'll be fine.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Take Note. If you enjoyed the show, then please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Spotify so that other students can find us too. Leave us a cheeky review while you're there, and you can also head over to our Instagram where you can follow us at uoa.oncampus. We'll have videos of our guests and exciting podcast news there, as well as all the information you'll need about what's happening on campus. Send us a DM there and let us know what you'd like to hear next on the podcast, and I will see you next fortnight for another episode of Take Note.
Take note.
This is a UOA on campus production.